All right, how many of you brought your sword tonight? Would you put it up, please? All over the place. Look at that. You don't go to school without your textbook. You don't come to church without your Bible, right? So take your Bible tonight and open up with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. As you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, it looked like you all had your Bibles with you tonight, and that's good. I would guess that if we were to ask the question, do you love your Bible? You would say, oh, absolutely. Love my Bible very, very much. I'd like for us to consider some statistics about the Bible. Over 100 million copies of the Bible are sold every single year. 100 million. That is remarkable. The Bible has been translated in over 690 different languages. 92% of all Americans possess one. More than likely, they possess more than one. On average, the Christian has nine. Gideon's International alone distributed more than 59 million Bibles for free in 2016. 24 million Bible apps became available between January and June of 2020. Online searches with Bible keywords reached a five-year record. So I would say tonight that there's a little bit of an interest in what the Word of God has to say. And the Word of God is saturated all throughout this nation of ours. There's no doubt about that. As we look at tonight's message, and we're continuing our series of messages on the 3:16s of the Bible. We have gone through all of the 3:16s. We are now at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, and it's probably one that many can quote. We're going to put some context around it, though, for this evening. Starting in verse 14, the Bible says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." As we've been chasing the 3:16s throughout the Bible, we have been looking at God's plan of love and redemption. And you know, tonight, when you think about this, think back to the days that you were dating. How many of you wrote some mushy-gushy, icky love letters? Yeah, some of you just don't want to admit that you did that. And you sent these sappy cards and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because it was part of your plan of love and redemption. You were trying to get that individual. You wanted that individual. And so you wrote that love letter to them. You wrote those love notes. You and I, as believers in Christ, right here, we have God's love letter to us. And this is an awesome, awesome book. It is like no other. It doesn't have an equal. There is only one, and it's the Word of God. Tonight, as we look at this very familiar passage of Scripture, I want us to notice some things about the Bible. Nothing brand new, just reminders of good truths that we need to hang on to. The first thing is this: we want to look at the Bible's role in our salvation. The Bible's role in our salvation, again, verse 15, "that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Put a marker here, if you will, and let's move to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, if you are dealing with individuals about the Lord Jesus Christ and their need for salvation, a lot of times you'll take them down the Romans road. And what the Romans road is just a set of verses that you can use in the book of Romans to introduce somebody to their need for salvation, to the fact of their sinfulness, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. And you use this to show them that. Part of the Romans road is this section here in Romans 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We love that verse, right? We want people to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. But continue reading. "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher?" That's not talking about me. That is talking about a proclaimer. "And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by what? And hearing by what? The Word of God. We want to see somebody get saved. They have to hear something to get saved. What is it that they need to hear? Do they need to hear about how wonderful of a place First Baptist Church, Bryan, Ohio is, and what a great church family we got here? No. Do they need to hear your story about how long you've been a Christian and your life story and how glad you are that you're saved? Is that what's needed? No. Do they need your nagging, your begging, your badgering them for their need to get saved? No. What do they need? They need the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. They need to hear the gospel message. They need to hear the Bible verses that talk about the fact that they are a sinner. They need to hear the Bible verses that talk about the consequences of sin. They need to hear the Bible verses that talk about a Savior who loves them more than anybody ever could possibly have loved them. They need to hear that even while they were in sin, Christ died for them. They need to hear the scriptures that tell them that Jesus Christ arose from the grave. They need to hear that gospel message. You're in Romans 10. Go back to Romans 1. Look at chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel of Christ. The Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If you're here tonight and you're trying to win somebody to Jesus, do everything in your power to get the Word of God in their hands, to get them to read the Word of God. You say, "Oh, well, I handed them a Bible." Well, that's great. And you know exactly where they're going to start reading, right? They're going to go to, probably they're going to go to Genesis 1:1, since that's the very first thing. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I don't know if I believe that. I've heard evolution. Let's see what that New Testament has to say. Well, so-and-so begat so-and-so and begat so-and-so and begat so-and-so. Well, this isn't interesting. Man, if you hand somebody a Bible, tell them where to get started. Get them going in the Gospel of John. Tell them to read the Gospel of John. Tell them to read it and reread it and reread it and reread it. And invite them, say, "If you got questions, here's my number. Call me." Or better yet, let's set up a time. This is when we're going to sit down and talk about it. How's that sound? Do that with them. But get the Word of God into their hands. You say, "Well, they're scared off by a Bible." Okay. Get a good devotional book in their hands. Now, not something cheesy that's just stories. Something that's got the Word of God. Get the Word of God in people's hands. That's how a person is going to know that they need to be saved. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Many years ago in a Moscow theater, there was an individual by the name of Alexander Rostovez. And I know I'm butchering his Russian name. He was converted, though, while playing the role of Jesus in a sacrilegious play that was entitled Christ in a Tuxedo. What he was supposed to have done was read two verses directly out of the Bible from the Sermon on the Mount, and then he was supposed to cry out, "Give me my tuxedo and my top hat." And he read, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And as he is holding the Word of God and acting, he couldn't quit reading. And he started reading the next verse, and the next verse, and the next verse. And he stood on that stage and trembled. And there's people on the sides that are trying to give him his cues and saying, "That's not your line. Move on." Stomping their feet, getting excited with him. He was supposed to have said two things, and then his mockery, you know, "Give me my hat and tuxedo," all that kind of stuff. And he couldn't quit reading. And finally, he didn't know what else to say. He was so broken. And he says the only thing he could remember was something he had remembered in his Orthodox training of years and years ago. "Dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And there on that stage, in the midst of even a sacrilegious play, he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. How? From the Word of God. That's how it happened. Consider the second thing tonight. The Bible's role, first of all, was in our salvation. Notice the Bible's role in our sanctification. Verse 16. In verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word sanctification means to be set apart in a holy fashion for a holy purpose. Once we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Lord began to do a great work in every one of our lives. And if you're here tonight and you know Jesus as your Savior, you can point to the things that Christ has done in you, the changes that He has made in your life. You know the person that you were when you first trusted the Lord as Savior, and you know where you're at tonight, and you are there because God has been so good. He has been so gracious. He's been so merciful to train you, to teach you, to chasten you, to show you the things in His Word that would help you to grow, to get you to the point of growing up in Christ. We know that we never arrive. We know that never happens. Sanctification is a process that is going to last the entire time that we are in our mortal bodies. But as you consider that verse, and just look at it, let's break it down. First of all, the Bible says all Scripture. Not some of it. Not parts of it. Not the pieces of God's Word that are comfortable and easy to digest. All Scripture is given then by inspiration. What is inspiration? We know the technical term for inspiration. It means God breathed. He took words. Words in and of themselves are empty and lifeless. Words is what you find in the dictionary. And I would guess that you can take God's Word and every word that is in the Bible, other than some of those terrible names that we can't pronounce, every one of those words is going to be found in a dictionary. Is a dictionary alive? No. So what makes God's Word an alive book? It's the fact that it's an inspired book. God breathed. You know the first time where we saw God breathe? It was into the nostrils of the first man. And that which was made from the dust of the earth came alive. Dust isn't alive, but it is when God breathes into it. And words aren't alive until God breathes into them. And God breathed life into those words. And the human writers of the Scripture merely wrote what God had breathed. And the Bible says that God's Word is profitable. What does the word profitable mean? It means profitable. It means it has value. It is advantageous for you and I to read God's Word. What's it profitable for? It is profitable for doctrine. When we read God's Word, we are going to be taught doctrine. A lot of times people go, oh, doctrine. Hey, there's nothing dull and boring about doctrine. You've got to have doctrine. You've got to know. I tell you what, you need to know the book of Romans backwards and forwards. That is a book of doctrine. You're not going to just sit down tonight and go home after church and say, well, okay, preacher said to read it. I think I'll read it. Oh, I get it. And you're just going to digest it all. It's not going to happen. You're going to study that book. And you're going to read about the doctrines of God's Word. And then it's profitable for reproof. When we read God's Word, we are going to get convicted. We're going to be told what we are doing wrong. And then it's profitable for correction. When we read God's Word, we are going to be corrected. We have been going the wrong way. God's going to tell us how to go the right way. And then instruction in righteousness, literally discipline in righteousness. We got off course because of a lack of discipline. God says we need discipline to get us back on course. He's willing to provide that. Now, look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy 4 verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Do we recognize, folks, the importance of the Word of God in the church? There are so many churches today, I say this so often. But you know, during COVID, you started doing a lot of listening to different ministries all around the world, you know, just because we were looking for something. We were all in lockdowns and all that kind of stuff. And what you found was there's some terrible ones out there. Just absolutely awful. And what the people get from those churches is a pep rally. You know what a pep rally does? It picks you up for a little bit and then it deflates you. That is all a pep rally does. It's like lifting you up to heights and then dropping you. God's Word is intended to teach us. And let me tell you, every single Sunday school class, every single time that Olympians meets, every single time Word of Life meets, every single time that somebody preaches from this pulpit, it has got to be loaded in the Word of God. That is what we are here for. And if we are not getting the Word of God in a substantial fashion, then we wasted our time. Totally wasted our time. We are here because of the Word of God and what God's Word has to do in the role of sanctifying us. But notice something else back here in 2 Timothy 4 or 3 and verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So let's talk about the Bible's role in our service. Go back with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible's role in our service. We know the Bible's role in our salvation. The Bible's role in our sanctification. How about the Bible's role in our service? In Ephesians 2, we've got verses 8 and 9 memorized. You know, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then we hit verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Good works come after salvation, not to keep us saved, but because we are saved. And every single child of God ought to be known for the good works that we do. You say, well, how do I know if I'm doing a good work? And in fact, you go to the book of James. James tells us that for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Can any one of us do every single good work that there is to do? Well, then I guess we're sinning, aren't we? Should we feel guilty about that? And the answer is no. You want to know why? Because God didn't create you and I to do every single good work that there is to do. He created us to do every single good work there is to do. It's an us thing. It's not a me. It's not a you as an individual. So you go back to that Ephesians 2:10. We were created in Christ Jesus. You as an individual were created in Christ Jesus. God has certain good works that He has ordained for you to do. So do them. And God has ordained somebody else to do other good works. Do them. You say, well, come on, I need other people to help me. Okay, whoever God's laid that on their hearts. God has not laid every single good work on every single individual's heart because we can't all do everything. If we lived here 24/7, 365, we could still not do every good work that there is to do. But I can do the good work that God's called me to do. Isn't that awesome? God had an individual plan for me. God had an individual plan for you. And if we'll just all stick to His plan, the good that He wants us to accomplish will get done. And He's equipped each of us to do those things. He's equipped us differently. Every one of us, we talked about this on Wednesday night, we have different gifts, we have different talents, we have different skills, we have different abilities, we have different personalities. We have all got something that God has given us to use to accomplish what it is He wanted us to accomplish. Now, to do this good work, the service, we need the Word of God, first of all, because it matures us. It grows us up. The Word of God, it says, perfects us, bringing us to spiritual maturity. In the preceptaustin.org website, it says the Greek word for perfect is artios. It properly signifies an integer or a whole number in arithmetic, to which nothing needs to be added to make it complete. This word describes those persons who are complete, capable, and proficient in everything that they are called to be or to do. When you're packing to go on a trip, You have everything you need for the journey and you're ready to go. You are ready for the work of God once you have been trained by the Word of God. Oh, I like that phrase. You are ready for the work of God once you have been trained by the Word of God. We need that training. Why? Because it matures us. Here's the second thing it does. It equips us. We are thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Think of a mechanic trying to work on a car, but they don't have the right tools. Think of an individual who's painting, goes to a job to paint, and they don't have the right tools. They don't have the brushes. They don't have the edgers. They don't have this. They don't have that. Think of the last time you bought some piece of furniture in a box from Souders or IKEA, and all the parts weren't there. That's loads of fun, isn't it? It's the same as a Christian trying to do good works without having been trained by the Word of God because they're not equipped. They don't have all the parts. So that's why it is so important and vitally important, Christians, that we be in God's Word. We cannot be in God's Word too much. We need God's Word for this training, for this maturity, for the equipping. The final point is this, the Bible's role in society. In the opening illustration, I told you that 92% of Americans claim that they have at least one Bible. With all these Bible apps that came out from January to June of 2020, 24 million Bible apps for smartphones, tablets, any kind of portable device. I would guess that probably 99% of Americans at least have got some form of a copy of God's Word. That ought to be encouraging, right? But according to a Barna poll, only 11% read the Bible on a daily basis. 5% read the Bible 4 to 6 times a week. 29% never read the Bible. And 47% say if the Bible was missing from the United States culture, 47% say that America would be better off or no worse for wear. Almost half of Americans say that about the Bible, a book that almost 100% of Americans possess. In the book of Amos, chapter 8 and verse 11, we're not going to go to it, but in Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, it talks about a time of famine. Now, when we say the word famine, we think about, you know, droughts, we think about food shortages, pestilence that's destroyed the crops and all that, but Amos says that there will come a time where there will be a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. My friends, we are at that time where there is a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. Not a famine of having it, but of hearing it, heeding it, what the Bible says. I ask you tonight, Christians, where do you stand concerning the Word of God? How often do you read it? How much do you rely upon it and look to it for the answers in life? I wonder tonight if, as believers in Christ, we might make a solemn commitment before God that we are going to do whatever we can to increase the amount of time that we spend in studying God's Word. Not just reading it, but studying it for comprehension, for understanding, for application. That we will increase that time. I'm not asking you to go hog wild crazy and you say, oh boy, I sure don't. Okay, Lord, I'm giving you 10 hours every day. That's my commitment tonight. I want to tell you, don't do that. You know why? You will blow it tomorrow. Today's about done. You can't get 10 hours in today. You're going to blow it tomorrow. And then you're going to be discouraged. You go, oh boy, I guess I shouldn't have done that. Just whatever the time is that you spend with the Lord now, say, Lord, I want to increase it. I want to increase it. And so increase that time that you spend with the Lord and His Word. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, this book tells you that you're a sinner. This book tells you that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. This book tells you how to be saved. Tonight, would you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Would you give us the opportunity to take you aside and introduce you to our Lord and Savior Jesus? Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the Holy Word of God, perfect, complete. And we are asking, Lord, tonight that if there is one here that has never trusted you as Savior, that this might be the night of salvation for them. But Lord, we pray tonight for the believer. You have given us your love letter to us. As we talked about this morning, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Ignorance of your word is no excuse. We say we love it, Lord. Help us to really put some action behind that and to be more diligent to be in your word, to study it, that we might be the workmen that are approved unto you, that need not to be ashamed. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name.